Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people are my friends, just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate and teach you, so call me at 1-800-743-CNBC, or of course, tweet me at Jim Cramer. Welcome to the gauntlet. After a sedate day, the Dow backslid 28 points. S&P advanced 0.34%. NASDAQ gained 0.37%. Oh, boy, you need to strap yourself to the mast and prepare yourself for some intensity. Next week, we get earnings from really all of the most important companies in this entire market. I do not have enough time to cover each one of these in the game plan. I know some of you will be mad at me that I leave some of your favorites out, but let me tell you what to look for from the biggest names. Now, a lot of people are worried about next week because there's so much tech, and they think tech is done, particularly the big dogs like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Facebook. Much of the intraday sogginess we saw this last week was driven by a belief that the economy is about to get stronger because of a stimulus bill, and the only way you should play it is to sell tech and buy the industrials because you don't need slow and steady that wins the race. You need boom. Well, look, we're going to get some stimulus, but it probably not before the election. So you have to be ready to use any Washington-related disappointment to do some buying in the stocks that we like. You know just which ones. Tech. Tech Monday. Well, we hear from Otis Worldwide. That's the dominant maker and servicer of elevators. It's the old spinoff from United Technologies. Some people see this as a stimulus play, but that's wrong. Otis is levered more to Chinese elevator maintenance than American elevator construction. That makes it a terrific Biden stock. Because people now perceive Biden as being soft on China, which means the Communist Party will be much less likely to mess with Otis's sales than if Trump wins again. Monday night, we get two major tells. I keep telling you about the bull market autos, right? Now that COVID has made us fear mass transit. So I'll be listening to NXP Semi, one of the most auto-intensive semiconductor companies there is, reports after close. If the stock reacts well, you can bank on a lot more upside for both the chip makers and the automakers. And well, that's important because Ford reports Wednesday. More on that in a moment. The other tell is a company called Twilio. We keep hearing about how high-flying tech stocks have gone out of style in Wall Street fashion show. While there are periods where that happens, I can tell you they don't last that long. Twilio will help us determine if these high flyers are ready to rebound, because few companies are more richly valued than the software company that helps app developers connect with their customers. Tuesday morning, we get results from some big drug companies, Pfizer, Merck, and Eli Lilly. Perhaps more important, we'll learn how Pfizer's vaccine is coming. I think that's coming in pretty quickly after Moderna. Now, we heard the president say it was around the corner last night's debate. Around the corner, I don't know what that really means, but that means, I guess, close. In many ways, I care more about the COVID therapeutics, though. And that's what Merck and Lilly are working on. If we can get you in and out of the hospital fast with this horrible disease while preventing long-term organ damage, which is the real thing that everyone's so worried about, well, that would be a game changer. Caterpillar also reports on Tuesday morning, and many feel this stock has run too much. I got to tell you, CAT's become a little bit like the Teflon stock ever since it decided to allocate, or let's call it reallocate its cash, to buying back a ton of stock, which they've done. If you think the polls are right about a Biden victory, you might want to buy some CAT before the quarter and then some after, because the company would benefit from better relations with China. That's what we focus on, not just the highway building I keep hearing about. Okay, then there's Stanley Black & Decker, which is right in the sweet spot of the do-it-yourself remodeling bull market I talked about earlier this week. Now, judging by the fantastic pictures of the work around the house that many of you showed me on Twitter this week, this company's integral to your construction projects. I am confident that they will deliver good numbers. Tuesday night, we hear from a pair of the most important companies in the market, Microsoft and AMD. Now, I bet they both report excellent results. The CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, he's a wizard. His only problem is that the company really has more business than it can handle, high quality. How about AMD? Today, their chief competitor, Intel, reported some merely okay results when we were expecting something spectacular. I don't know why I wasn't. But when AMD reports, I bet you'll actually get something terrific. Now, lots of speculators also seem to think that CEO Lisa Su will announce the acquisition of Xilinx. I suspect AMD's balky at the price tag, though, as Xilinx wants them to pay a big premium. And I doubt that Lisa Su, a hero of ours, would dilute her stock like that. Wednesday morning, United Parcel. Yes, and we already know that e-commerce is on fire. I expect great things from the new CEO, Carol Tomei, formerly the CFO of Home Depot. She's a no-nonsense leader. I think she'll give you a rigorous, positive look at the holiday season. I don't think they're going to miss numbers like they used to. Quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. I've been telling members of the ActionAlertsPlus.com club that this is the quarter before the trough quarter for the bedraggled Boeing, which means it's time to buy. Well, why not wait until you're at the trough quarter, you might ask, plaintively? Because that's what everyone else wants to do. You have to get in ahead of everyone else. You don't buy a turnaround story at dawn. You buy it when it's darkest before the dawn, like in the fourth quarter of the Eagles game last night. I wish I could say the same about General Electric also on Wednesday, but Boeing suppliers will be two quarters away from the trough, and that's a quarter too far for me. GE has a wind business doing real well, by the way. Solid healthcare business. Not enough to intrigue yet. Could you please give GE three more months? Thank you. Ford reports after the close, and I'm a big believer that they're pulling out of a multi-year tailspin, and they're doing it under the steady hand of CEO Jim Farley. Get this. Ford has a guy, I know, I'm not joking around. They have a guy as a CEO who actually likes cars. I'm not kidding. He likes fast cars. He likes to drive. New. I bless buying Ford both before and after the quarter. We got a raging bull market in autos, and that includes the lucrative F-150. Don't even look at the used prices. I tried to get a used F-150 for my wife's birthday next week. They're like, I mean, no, she's not getting one. Okay, she doesn't watch the show. She doesn't know I have a show. Remember when I told, no, she's trying to buy the Hummer. Can you believe it? You believe it? There's no Hummers. It's already sold out. She kept trying to hit the button. Look at the game. Look at the game. I'm saying, watch the game. Watch the debate. Watch the game. She clicking. I said, it's not going to come. They're not giving you any Hummers. They're done. Anyway, I told you to watch Twilio Monday night. If it rallies after the quarter, you might want to buy ServiceNow. That's the fantastic cloud play run by Bill McDermott, formerly of SAP. I expect a blowout quarter from ServiceNow. Blowout. This is it. Guys, right now, I'm telling you, blowout. All right? Not a blowout like a blowout, like a tire blowout. All right. Now, we also hear from Etsy and Pinterest. Pinterest is still going up in after hours. These are beloved companies to cater to people who love making stuff. I like Etsy's red hot mask business. We have people on our staff who do nothing but do color-coded Etsy masks with what they're wearing. Pinterest is going up along with Snap because their ads work. These stocks aren't quitting, not in this tape. Now, Thursday's got earnings galore in the morning, but the big action is going to be after the close. Amazon, Apple, Alphabet, Facebook, Starbucks, all report at the same time. Boys, that's stupid. They should spread that out. It's insane. But not as insane as my prediction. Four out of five will deliver good numbers. After the pandemic hit, Amazon took over the world. Apple's got their new 5G phone to crow about. Alphabet will miss because it always misses. At this point, I blame Wall Street for getting the estimates wrong. Just lower your estimates right now so they won't miss. I would just take them down. Now you can put an end to this charade. I expect huge numbers from Facebook. I mean, the stock is going something like six today. And you know that. Now, it's being led by a thing called Instagram Shops. They came up with this brilliant idea. I don't know where they got it, to help small businesses operate online. And it's working. It could be a $50 billion business. It was a great idea. You know, Congress hated them. The Democrats were Republicans. But small business loves them. They're their ambassadors. As for Starbucks, it's a work in progress. Probably gets hit. I say be patient. It will snap right back if Biden wins the election because the future of Starbucks is in China and it'll be easier for them to expand there if Beijing has a less antagonistic relationship with the White House. They got a lot of cities there that like have like 7 million people nobody's ever heard of and they need a couple of Starbuckses. I had a triple venti cappuccino with skin wet right before I came out here, but it hasn't even got kicked in yet. Finally, on Friday, we have a tale of two oils, Chevron and ExxonMobil. Now, I got to tell you, Exxon better have something up its sleeve that lets them protect the dividend, which currently gives you a 10% yield. We'll see. Chevron, on the other hand, is sitting pretty pretty. CEO Mike Wirth is so confident about this situation that I bet he talks about helping the environment. I'm not even joking. I'm dead serious. Bottom line, it's a tough week. A prelude to Election Day. Confusion lies ahead. I say proceed with caution, but if you like something, then do a little homework, then wait for the inevitable swoon and buy it into weakness. Except for ServiceNow, I think it's going to be better. That's the blowout. That's my blowout prediction, okay, for the week. Ford, before and after. Remember, it's run by a guy who likes cars. Who'd have thunk it? Ashwin in California. Ashwin!
Hey there, Jim. Hello from sunny Orange County, California. I have been listening to your show for a long time. In fact, I see it religiously every single night on my DVR.
Wow! Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a lot more than my wife watches it. Well, if she knew I had a show, she'd watch it, believe me. She says, why do you work so late? I said, I have a show. You have a show. It ends at 10. That's the other show. Okay.
I know. Let me just tell you. A lot of the stock tips you've given over the years, I have definitely benefited from. So I want to ask you another one.
It's okay.
Stock called Upwork. Ticker symbol is
UPWK. Upwork. No, I like Upwork. And they know I like Upwork. I think Upwork is a terrific situation. And actually, one of my staff members just said, Jim, you like Upwork, don't you? I said, yeah, I like Upwork. Online recruiting in a business where you can't find work, get workers, it's good. I like it. Hey, you know what? Let's go. Why don't we go to my home state of New Jersey? Let's go to Craig in New Jersey. Craig.
Hey, Jimmy Chill. It's Craig from Booyah, Hope, New Jersey.
Oh, I know it well. I know it well.
A while back, you had the two CEOs from Collier Creek Holdings and UTZ on your show about their merger. And I purchased CCH at about $14 a share.
Okay.
Then on September 1st, I received a tender offer for $10.50. I got nervous and sold it for $17.50.
I wish you hadn't sold it. Craig, Utz is good, man. They're going to blow that thing out over the next couple of years. They're going to do some acquisitions. They're going to go national. The Utz brand is a terrific brand. Even in the 50s, remember that? It was in the 60s they had it. They were going to come in on Mad Men. They were going to come pop. Remember Mad Men? They did the ad for Utz? That's how good that brand is. All right, now, guys, look, get ready for some, this is serious, right? This is our World Series. This is our playoffs, the playoffs. All right, next week's going to be a tough one. Proceed with a little caution, but remember, it's big time. Oh, man, but tonight, is Barbie one of the pandemic's biggest winners? I'm sitting down with the CEO of Mattel after today's 10% move higher. Find out more about the toy story. Then, it's the 6-month anniversary of my COVID-19 index. So, why not circle back to the names? I'm going to tell you what's still working. And it's more than just a bedtime story. Mattress sales are soaring, and sheets that you can't live without. I'm talking about a private company hoping to stand out in the industry. Don't miss my sit-down with the top brass of Boll & Branch. So stay with Kramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva. When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Look at the stock of Mattel run. The iconic toy maker, think Barbie, Hot Wheels, and games like Uno, reported last night the results were spectacular. Mattel gave you a monster revenue beat with sales up 11% on top of a monster earnings number. They made 95 cents. Wall Street was only looking for 39 cents. Yet Mattel more than doubled the earnings expectations. Dolls are on fire as are action figures, building sets, especially games. Makes sense. Kids have nothing to do. You got to keep them entertained somehow. Mattel's stock had roared going into the quarter, and it folded another almost 10% today. Best of all, this move was gettable. We know because we've repeatedly spoken to the CEO, and he kept telling us the second half of the year would be very strong. So let's check back with Ynon Kreiz, the bankable chairman and CEO of Mattel, to get a better sense of the quarter and how his company's holding up until the holidays. Mr. Kreiz, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hi, Jim. It's good to be here.
Okay, so Ynon, I'm going to give you the floor here with this one quote that I love from the conference call. And as it happens, this was actually the highest quarterly growth from Mattel in the past 10 years of any quarter, not the third quarter, of any quarter. I mean, that is amazing. It's not even the holiday quarter.
That's right. The third quarter was a very strong one for Mattel. We saw a major upswing in revenues and a significant increase in profitability. We are very encouraged by the quality of the results in that we grew in every region in constant currency and broadly across the portfolio. Our brands and product offerings resonate, and they resonate with consumers, as well as our together with our partnership, we're able to drive demand. This is working very well. Our strategy is clearly working, and we're very excited by consumer demand and continuing momentum heading into the fourth quarter.
All right, but how much of your demand is because of parents tired of their kids looking at a screen?
Well, the toy industry as a whole grew and continues to perform well and showing resilience in, even in challenging economic times. The industry is proving to be a strategic category for retailers as parents continue to prioritize spend on their children and look for high-quality products and trusted brands at affordable price points.
Now, you, when I first met you, you told me you were going to be asset-light, box checked. You told me you're going to start fixing the balance sheet, box checked. You told me that you could resurrect even American Girl down to double-digit to almost up. But you also told me you could use the intellectual property, see movies and things like that. Well, COVID has knocked that one for a loop. How do you get that on track? Because you have a great movie background.
Well, our movie project and development are progressing well. We were not impacted directly from the delay driven by COVID. We've actually just recently announced our 10th movie project in partnership with Mark Forster, the former director of James Bond, Quantum of Solace. We have many production for television in progress, and overall our strategy to commercialize and drive our IP forward is working very well. So we are not directly impacted by COVID, quite the opposite. We made a lot of progress on our strategy.
Okay, so I put up on Twitter you were on, and I asked for questions, and I got an interesting one. Said, how many Barbies does our nation need?
Barbie is just doing an amazing, amazingly well. It's up 30%, almost in every segment. Demand for Barbie grew by 50%. It really speaks to the strength and ongoing momentum of the brand. This is all driven by great product, design-led innovation, active demand creation, and cultural relevance. According to NPD, Barbie was the number one toy property in 12 out of 13 weeks in the U.S. and was the number one toy property overall globally in the third quarter, not just dolls, but overall in the entire industry. So we couldn't be more excited about Barbie.
Now, one of the things that you did say at one point in the conference call is that you actually literally are supply constrained. Is that something that you can fix in time for the holiday season?
Well, we're seeing tremendous demand for our product, more than we expected. With such surge in demand, we're now working hard to be able to fulfill it. It's just extraordinary, the growth in demand coming from a decline in the first half into such growth in the third quarter heading into the holiday season. We're working very hard to be able to try and fulfill it.
Now, I was talking with Becky Quick this morning. We were doing our crosstalk, and her family plays Uno. And I said, well, I thought Uno went away. I mean, yeah, we played Uno 55 years ago. How come it didn't go away?
Uno is just another great brand that we own. Uno continued to perform exceptionally well. It actually was the number one item in the entire games and puzzles category in the U.S. year to date and in the third quarter, according to NPD. The brand resonates across many levels, and we expect to see that continue to grow and have additional momentum heading into the holiday season.
All right, so does Zenon Kreis leave here and then go and say to his team, I've had it, we're fixing Fisher Price, these numbers are ridiculous? Because I think you're a pretty hard-charging guy.
Well, Fisher Price is doing much better than it did. It's actually down just barely 1% Fisher Price score, barely down 1%
relative. That's not acceptable to you. I know you. That's not acceptable to you.
That's right. We're on our way. You know, we saw POS growth, demand growing for the entire category for two consecutive quarters in a row. Fisher-Price remains the number one infant toddler preschool brand in the U.S., according to NPD. And we're working hard in turning that around. And you will see growth in Fisher-Price as well.
There are people who always speculate that Mattel is for sale, that it could be bought. Hasbro reports next week. I don't hear someone who says it's time to flip it.
Now, Mattel is on a great momentum. We are consistently showing progress in our strategy. We had nine consecutive quarters of growth of increasing our gross margin. Our EBITDA, our profitability, went from $126 million in 2017 to $200 in 2018, $453 million in 2019, and we just guided to $625 to $650 million EBITDA in 2020, which is $50 million more than we guided for before the pandemic. So you can see the trajectory. We have a lot of confidence in our strategy and are showing consistent, methodical delivery quarter after quarter after quarter. Gross margin is already at 51%. And, you know, with the additional momentum we have, with our brands resonating well, our opportunity to commercialize and capture the full value of our IP, we couldn't be more confident about our future and the path forward.
Well, look, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You're a man of your word. You delivered everything you've ever said on Mad Money. Enon Kreis, Chairman and CEO of Mattel. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Mad Money's back after the break.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's take a closer look at the top 10. The 10th best performer, and I know you love these stocks, so we're going to keep hitting them. The 10th best is Cloudflare. It's up almost 140%. This is a content delivery network with a cybersecurity kicker. They make sure all the digital stuff companies are doing actually runs smoothly. While the stock's pulled back a bit from its recent highs, Cloudflare still trades at more than 30 times sales, making it very pricey. I mean, Tesla's 12 times sales. I wouldn't buy more at these levels, but if the thing's pulled back, maybe going to the earnings report in 2 weeks, maybe then you can pounce. Not right here, okay? Not right here. Number nine is the Trade Desk. We've had all these companies on. It's up 141% in the last 6 months. It's more than double since Memorial Day weekend. These guys help other businesses manage data-driven digital advertising campaigns, especially for streaming content. In other words, the Trade Desk is a cord-cutting play. It's on fire for the same reason as Roku. Plus, unlike some of the cloud stocks that we're going to go into in a minute, the Trade Desk has actual earnings, which might make it more resilient the next time the high flyers get hit with a sell-off. Number eight, silly name, good company, Datadog, a purveyor of software for application performance monitoring. They make sure all this cloud stuff actually works. Earlier this week, I pointed out that Datadog is the third most expensive stock on our screens of modern-day red hots. At the time, it was trading 44 times next year's sales. Since then, it's pulled back nearly 10 bucks, although it's still up 140% since we created the COVID index. Datadog reports in a little less than it's a little over 2 weeks. They benefit enormously from the age of remote work. No kidding. But let's wait and see what they have to say. Again, not yet. Seventh best performer. Oh, boy. Was this one we nailed? Boston Beer. You might have seen them on earlier this afternoon. Even with most bars shut down, the parent company of Sam Adams and Truly Hard Seltzer has been cleaned up. Well, there's so many other hard seltzer companies. Topo Chico's in there now. The Corona's in there. But Boston Beer didn't stop them. They reported yet another magnificent quarter. And there are a lot of people short this one because they keep thinking that the area is getting crowded. I don't know. We're talking about an absolute stunner. They earned $6.51 per share. Analysts were only expecting $4.50. They wanted the stock pull vaulted 19%. Breaking out above the $1,000. We got to do a $1,000 club piece for the first time ever. If you've got a huge gain here, you know what? I mean, let's not be too greedy, okay? Maybe a little registering. I do think it's got more room to run, but you're going to read increasingly about the competition. Six is old friend Twilio, the cloud-based communications play that helps your favorite app developer stay in touch with you. Whenever Lyft or Airbnb sends you a text message, they're using Twilio's software. This one's vaulted 178% in the last 6 months. It's the best performer among the cloud kings since we crowned it back in May of last year. Last week, by the way, we learned Twilio's acquiring Segment. That's a customer data platform for $3.2 billion in stock. I think it's a smart move. While none of the names are cheap, this one's pulled back from 330 to 306 since Monday. I think it's getting intriguing to report next week. Number five, well, everybody's favorite, Square. Yes, the digital point of sale. Whoever thought the point of sale would be sexy? Point of sale system you can plug into your phone with a small business lending kicker and an underappreciated peer-to-peer payments app that competes with PayPal's Venmo. Some argue it's better. This thing's rallied 185% since we created the index. It's very expensive here. But Square reports in less than 2 weeks. And if the stock pulls back into the earnings, I would buy some. Fourth is Zoom Video. You know, aren't you a little surprised that it didn't make the top three? Since April 24th, Zoom's stock has surged more than 220%. These guys have redefined the entire economy with their video collaboration platform. I am still a believer, even up here. However, Zoom has come down hard this week, plunging from 568 on Monday to 511 today. They had a hugely positive analyst day last week, which sent the stock surging. But now all those gains have been rolled back, and people are talking about it's the end of Zoom. Oh, please. Soon it'll be a buying opportunity. Hey, listen, when it was down 100 before, I said it was a buying opportunity, and people said, oh, God, all Cramer does is like Zoom. Yes, I have since 70, okay? Take that. It's my fantasy player, okay? Everybody else's fantasy players on the bench, or like Al, you know, with a little O next to it. That one's mine, and it's in the lineup, okay? Number three. Fastly, not in my lineup. The formerly loved, now hated content delivery network like Cloudflare, that's up more than 230% in the last 6 months. 2 weeks ago, it was up more than 400%. Then Fastly pre-announced some revenue weakness because their biggest customer, TikTok, spent the quarter in the crosshairs of the White House. Fastly's plummeted from 123 to 76. That's what happens to red hots when they stumble. Initially, I thought this was a one-off problem, but we now learn that TikTok's developing their own internal content delivery network. That's, remember when Netflix was the problem for when there was, this whole group was under pressure today. Limelight, I don't know. Fastly's lost more than a third of its value, even though TikTok only makes up about 12% of its business, but we got to learn more later. Number two, I think we discovered this company even before it was a company, Livongo Health. It's up 239%. You know I've loved Livongo. Why? Because it's a digital health coach for people with chronic conditions like diabetes or hypertension, both serious risk factors for COVID. But we have to remove Livongo from the index, not because it's doing badly, because it's merging with another Cramer fave, Teladoc, which is already part of the Cramer COVID-19 index. I'd stick with the stock, though, because the combined company will be a digital health juggernaut there. People on Twitter, I don't give you that. I told you to watch the show. This is good. Finally, number one, Peloton. At a time when it simply isn't safe to go to the gym, Peloton's connected fitness machines have become the best way to exercise. This stock is up a phenomenal 280% since we created the index, even as it pulled back substantially over the past week after Goldman Sachs downgraded it. They argued that the upside's baked in and there could be problems this holiday season because of the congestion at the Port of Los Angeles. My view, look, if you've owned Peloton since before July, oh, come on, you're a little greedy. Ring the register. But I would keep a little something on because you know what? The thesis is still alive. One last point. We got a slot to fill in the index, and I want to fill it with Hegemon. Kind of interesting name. Sempra Energy. This utility with a cheap stock and a 3% yield. I know the value stocks have been dead money compared to the high-flying tech plays, but going forward, I like Sempra's risk-reward. The bottom line, since we created the Cramer COVID-19 Index 6 months ago, the stay-at-home, work-at-home stocks just have not been able to quit. But the traditional recession stocks, left in the dust. I say we go to Lester in Illinois. Lester!
From a longtime fan, first-time caller, a big Chicago booyah, tooyah, Jimmy Chill.
Longtime, first-time. I like the way your club's playing. What's happening?
Hey, so I love Marcus Lemonis. Been range trading camping world, CWH, holding a recently acquired position just north of 30. It set the report early November. Bottom dropped out on Wednesday after Winnebago, a good call, albeit possible supply chain constraints, and those shares dropped. My wife Nancy thinks I need to invest in my favorite bottle of scotch and chill. I think a winning combo might be to buy one of their campers.
Look, at $28, I think this stock makes a ton of sense. It is pulled back big. It is a really well-run company, and I think you bet with Marcus Lemonis right here, and you buy more if it goes even lower. Larry in South Carolina. Larry!
How are you, Jim?
I am good, Larry. How about you? I'm pretty fired up, actually. My fantasy team's doing really well.
I've been following you for about 20 years.
No, come on.
I have one of your books,
I'm only 25.
Yeah, I've been following you a long time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Got a question about Stitch Fix.
Yes.
Is that a hold or is that a sell?
Okay, I am a huge Katrina Lake backer. Our team has been in to see her. It was an okay quarter, but something's going on. This stock's up 38%. I don't know what's going on with Stitch Fix, but I'm sorry, Katrina. Profits on half because we liked it at 16 and it is now at 35. All right, it's been six months since we created this incredible index. Will you look at this? Look at this. Look at the performance here. The stay-at-home stocks have racked up monster gains. The recession stocks left in the dust. Much more mad money ahead, including the business of bed sheets. I'll find out how a private industry company is disrupting the sleepy industry, and believe me, one day you might be able to buy stock in it. Then Wall Street has already made up its mind. Another stimulus package is coming. So which stocks should you be considering? I'm going to give you my take. And all your calls rapid fire tonight's edition of The Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. We've told you about the stampeding bull market in home goods. Pretty much anything you can find at Bed Bath & Beyond or Williams-Sonoma, it's flying off the shelves. Tonight, though, we want to focus on a particular company, linens. This category is one of the hottest. I think sheets, bedding, towels are where you want to be. Turns out the textile business is on fire. And that's why we're going off the tape, meaning it's not a public company, with one of the leading players in the textile industry, the privately held Boll & Branch. And boy, do I wish this were public. This isn't just any private company. Boll & Branch makes high-end fair trade sheets that have been used by three of the last five U.S. presidents. Their brand is literally presidential. And man, business is booming. It's up 70% in October alone. But do not take it from me. Let's dig deeper with Scott Tannen. He's the co-founder, along with his wife and CEO of Boll & Branch, to get a better read on the industry. Mr. Tannen, welcome to Mad Money.
How are you? Good to be here.
All right. So, Scott, how is it possible that three out of the last five presidents, as well as anyone who ever listened to Sirius, anyone ever listened to Howard, or anyone who listens to podcasts, knows your company?
I mean, you know, it all started with Howard, but I bought so much stuff off that show that I was like, he's got to be able to sell sheets too. But yeah, it's been an incredible ride right here in your hometown of Summit, New Jersey.
Indeed. Well, my best friends, Ellen Haley, the wife of Buck Haley, told me about you. I'm sure you know her because she's at the Short Hills Mall store.
That's
she
right.
She gave me the speech when I first heard it, and I didn't believe that it could ever amount to anything. I'll tell you why. Because she talked about treating people humanely. She talked about how workers do well. And then I said, well, this can't be something in America that works, but it does.
I mean, imagine a direct-to-consumer business in the betting and home category that's been profitable for four straight years and actually keeps people above the poverty line as rather than pushing them down. It's been incredible.
Now, your industry is unfortunately notorious for treating people poorly. How did you decide that you could make a lot of money treating people well?
You know, I didn't decide that I could make a lot of money treating well. I just got wrapped up in, and Missy and I did, in this idea of making it a little bit easier to buy really great sheets. And it wasn't until we started learning about the bedding category that we realized, you know what, there's a lot of problems here. And if we're going to tell our kids about this, we're going to tell our neighbors and our family and friends, you know, and put our names on this, we're going to see if we can do it right from the ground up. And what started as more of an experiment, suddenly, you know, we realized that, wow, if we do it all ourselves and do it the right way, we actually can have a unit economics advantage on the category, which is why we've been able to be, you know, grow really, really quickly, but do it symmetrically where we're adding to the bottom line and not living off VC.
Now, we use your sheets everywhere, and I have to tell you, they are of a different quality. And I'm trying to figure out what makes it so that they feel different from other sheets.
Well, I think it's you know, most people have never tried organic cotton, right? We hear about all this made up stuff in the market, Egyptian cotton and thread count. And the truth is, the better the cotton, the better the product. And what's happened is, you know, 40, 50 years ago, organic cotton was just cotton. That's how all the cotton was. And, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until, you know, corporate America figured out how do I drive more cost out of the product to feed my, you know, business models that frankly are archaic and don't work anymore, they end up with really terrible products at all price points. So suddenly you bring back the best quality cotton and you pair it with heritage craftsmanship where we're working with family-owned factories that have been struggling. And finally we're able to come in and say, look, we've got a different business model and we think we can help you change your fortunes and actually help the people that work with you live properly, live correctly, be able to afford education, health, and things like that for their kids. And so you know, they feel better because mm-hmm. they're organic cotton. And anybody that hasn't tried organic cotton, they spend one night in it. It's life-changing.
Well, Scott, but one of the things that confused me is my wife was buying the stuff online, even as my friend was in a brick-and-mortar store, and you've opened a couple of other brick-and-mortar stores. I thought brick-and-mortar was no longer the way to go, but you seem to like a kind of a combination.
It's amazing what happens when you sign some leases right before COVID. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we've been unbelievably successful in Short Hills. And I think what we found is a lot of people that don't know our brand, right, walk through the mall and they're heading to the department stores that they've gone to forever, because this category is still 92, 93% pre-COVID offline. And they're walking in, touching and feeling our product, and they feel the difference. So we find that our stores offer us an opportunity to create what's really a three-dimensional billboard and a true brand building experience for our customers to touch and feel the product. Oftentimes they make their second, third purchase online, but the showroom model we think is still alive and well. Again, but you know, poor unit economics, as you well know, a poor retail model on top of poor unit economics makes a really bad story.
Well, it is tough to sell in brick and mortar in COVID, isn't it?
You know, it has been, but one of the things that we've done, and as you know, we just opened a store in Boca Raton, right, as well as Greenwich over the last 2 weeks. The key is making not just your employees feel safe, but also the customers, and trying to do some different things. And that's how we teamed up with Healthy to bring their UVC lighting technology in and be able to create a cleaner environment. So someone can lay down on a mattress and try the sheets and touch and feel them and not have to worry that it's simply someone with a spray bottle, which is still important, you know, keeping them clean and keeping them safe. And, wow. And as you know, with Ellen, when your employees feel safe, the customers feel safe too.
No, very true. One last question. Catterton, I know you're a pre-E. They did RH. RH has been one of the best names we've ever recommended on the show. Any chance that one day we might be able to own shares in Bolton Branch?
I certainly hope so. You know, the team at Catterton has been amazing. We've been with them for a year now. And I think our differentiated model has surprised them, and they're able to apply a lot of the things that they learned with RH over the years. And together, you know, as you mentioned, we're up 70% year over year in October. And yes, there's tailwinds in the market, but you still have to catch them. So they've been an amazing partner.
Well, it's a great category, but you're the leader in the category. I want to thank you so much for coming on Mad Money. Scott Tannen, CEO of Bull & Branch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wow. Mad Money's back after the break. It is time! It is up to the lady right away! It's up to the third one another city. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Skate! Yeah, time for the lightning round. Quincy, it's over. Thomas, New Jersey. Thomas!
Hey, Jim. How you doing? Love your show, man.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
You bet. Listen, I'm calling about Nautilus, NLS. I bought some shares in that early last month, and I'm showing a 70% profit. Now, with COVID numbers spiking, fitness centers either closed or having limited occupancy.
Right.
And apparently Peloton is dealing with some backorder issues.
True. Look, I think Nautilus is good. I just don't want you to be greedy. I want you to take a quarter of it off on Monday, and then we'll all feel better. I won't be walking around thinking, oh, man, Thomas from New Jersey just got hurt. That's what we have to do. Let's go to Gary in North Carolina. Gary!
Jimmy Chill, how are you doing?
Okay, Chief, how about you?
I'm doing well. This is Gary G, giving you a big Fayetteville, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Booyah!
Booyah to you. Thank you for serving. What's going on, man? Fayetteville. I thought they called it Fayetteville.
Jimmy, my wife and I love the show, love the education, love the entertainment.
Wow.
But mostly the education.
Thank you.
So tonight, we want to talk about cell tower companies.
Okay. I'm ready for you.
So Jimmy, tell me. Crown Castle.
Okay, so Jay Brown put up a good quarter, but he did not give me the blowout expectation numbers that I wanted, and that's why the stock got hit yesterday, but you got a good dividend boost. I think you're fine. I know the Bears are all over it. I want you to stay the course. Let's go to Danielle in Nevada. Danielle.
Hey, booyah, booyah, Kramer.
Yeah, I like that. That's a lot of enthusiasm. What's going on?
I appreciate all your advice and wisdom. I was calling to see what your thoughts on if I should buy the ACI Albertsons.
You know, I am exhausted by Albertsons. I thought they reported an absolutely terrific quarter, and then I interviewed them on Squawk on the Street. I like what I heard, and it still won't go up. So what does that tell you? That actually tells you that the supermarket business is not as good a business as we thought. So I don't mind holding it, but I'm not going to say buy more until it goes even lower, unfortunately. Do we have time for one more? Do we have time? We have one more, so we're going to Doug in New York. Doug!
Jim, this is Mad Doug for Mad Money.
All right, Doug, what's going on?
Mad Doug's was from New York, the home of the disgrace of a football team that I saw last night that gift-wrapped their victory for your team.
Look, there's something about that 20-yard line that makes you fall down. I get that.
Yeah, all right. Make me some money and put me in a better mood. Stone Company.
A Brazilian cloud company with Brazil that is on fire, even for Whirlpool. I like that stock. I like it very much. And I'm sorry about the Giants, not really. And that, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
To stimulate or not to stimulate? That actually is not the question. When I look at the market's newfound love for some of the left-behind cyclicals, I didn't talk Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, even U.S. Concrete. It tells me that Wall Street's already made up its mind. Another stimulus package is coming. It's not a matter of if, only a matter of when. Of course, there's a big difference between a stimulus package before the election, when it will come in time to help people who lose their jobs now that COVID cases are spiking again, and a stimulus package in January when the new Congress is sworn in. For the last couple of months, I've warned you not to expect another bailout before the election. Politics is too fraught. The Republicans who control the Senate, they generally don't love spending tons of money. And the economy is doing well enough that they see no reason to compromise. President Trump's willing to make a deal that's worth close to $2 trillion, but the Democrats in the House of Representatives are playing hardball because they figure they've got Trump on the ropes. Now, you'll hear that the big disagreement is over how much money to give cash-strapped state governments. Call me skeptical. Maybe I'm being too cynical here, but there's an election in a week and a half. It would be political malpractice for Speaker Pelosi to hand the president a big victory right now, even if maybe that's the right thing to do for the country. For now, we have a situation where both parties can deflect blame while they do nothing. But in the end, investors are betting that the current negotiations don't really matter anymore. They see a Democratic wave coming, and once that wave happens, well, we'll be awash in stimulus money. And that's how Caterpillar can keep roaring into the quarter that is reported next Tuesday. Now, I don't mind people trying to game the election by betting on the infrastructure stocks. I've seen it a million times. But I am begging you to learn from history, because history says this is a just a trade, not an investment. Infrastructure projects take forever to get rolling. I keep thinking of all the money that's been lost betting on U.S. concrete, and I'd sell that thing right into the election. I don't mind owning Caterpillar or Ingersoll Rand or even Cummins, because you know what? They're China plays. They can thrive if Biden wins, because he might roll back the whole trade war, especially now that the Chinese economy is booming again. Remember, our government has forgotten how to build stuff. You want to own the infrastructure plays for their China business, not their business with the U.S. government. But let me give you another way to play the inevitable stimulus, even if it takes a few months. I'm talking about a group that I have often held in disrepute. I'm talking about the banks. As these cyclical stocks have rallied, bonds have been going down in value and up in yield, as investors bet that we'll have a lot more economic activity, a lot more government borrowing, which creates more demand for money. There are algorithms out there set to buy the bank stocks whenever they see rates ticking higher. In reality, I think this relationship is pretty tenuous. That doesn't change the fact that the machines will keep buying the bank stocks when they see it. Again, it's the journey that matters, not the destination. And the journey translates into possibly higher earnings and therefore instantly higher prices for the big financials. And here I'm thinking J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley. Now, the first two generally, they generally do benefit from higher rates. The second two, not so much, but it doesn't matter. They're all part of one big basket. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are the investment banking businesses, so they don't really have as much. But by the way, Morgan Stanley's really doubled down on investment advisory, and that's a terrific business. So if you want to play the eventual stimulus, I say go with the bank stocks. They're cheap. And as interest rates keep moving higher, they'll take the banks up with them. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. I'll see you Monday. The news with Shepard Smith starts now.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.